March of Time. On a thousand fronts, the history of the world moves swiftly forward. A thousand new facts, new details in the world's history come into being every hour. There is one complete record of this swift-changing civilization.
It is Time, the weekly news magazine.
Time makes it possible for the busy man to read the story of his lifetime as he lives the story of his life. Discover Time. It's on every newsstand. It's the magazine with the red border. Tonight, the editors of Time raise the curtain again on their new kind of reporting of the news. The reenacting of memorable scenes from the news of the world. From the March of Time. Santa Margherita, Italy. Today, as he leaves his Santa Margherita villa, Guglielmo Marconi, inventor of wireless, reveals to the world what took place in a recent interview between himself and Premier Mussolini.
Then you believe, Captain Marconi, that this device can be used in warfare?
Remember, it is not completely perfected, Your Excellency, but my tests have shown that when this wireless ray is directed on an ordinary gasoline engine, the engine will be stopped.
Then it would stop automobile or tank motors from a distance, or stop airplane engines in the air?
Yes. It is based on the wireless wave I have been experimenting on for 25 years, a very short wave, which can be directed like a searchlight.
It would mean that all motorized war machines would be useless, that foot soldiers and cavalry would again be the whole strength of an army.
I believe the ray will also be invaluable in medical treatment. It will rival the X-ray and radium.
Yes, yes, but when will you be able to produce a practical wave machine for our soldiers?
As soon as I can finish it. I am going to resign my captaincy in the Navy immediately and enlist in the Signal Corps.
But why?
To make this invention a practical instrument of war, I must work with it under actual fighting conditions on the field.
Although the world of science considers Marconi too sound a scientist to forecast so sensational an invention prematurely, many doubt the potency of his new short wave. Today, military experts admitting such a wave possible are devising means of combating it. Time marches on. Toronto, Canada. A strange will probated 9 years ago in Canada haunts the mind of humble husband John Nagel as outside a ward in a small hospital he paces up and down impatiently.
Nurse, any news yet?
Not yet, Mr. Nagel, but any moment now. Just try to be patient.
But I can't, nurse. So much depends on this.
Just be calm, Mr. Nagel.
I'll try to be.
Pacing John Nagel, awaiting the birth of his heir, tries hard to be calm. But his mind goes spinning back 9 years to the will, which has now become all important in his family life.
With this, my last will and testament, I, Charles Vance Millar, do hereby give, devise and bequeath to the Ontario woman who shall have borne the largest number of children by October 31st, 1936, the sum of $500,000. I do bequeath this sum.
Nagel's troubled mind recalls a day when his mounting hopes suddenly dropped, the day when Ontario's Attorney General sounded forth.
The will of Charles Vance Millar should be invalidated by Ontario's legislature. This baby race is almost indecent. But with $500,000 as a stake, the marathon is on.
Back and forth, Nagel paces, his feverish thoughts flying first to the home of Mrs. Bagnato with 6 tallies and 6 years, to the Dionne quintuplets, and finally to the odds-on favorite, Mrs. Frances Kenny.
We've got 10 children now. I'm sure to win. Sure, me and my husband are both on relief, but that won't matter. We'll go right on having children every year, and by 1936, we won't ever have to worry.
Mr. Nagel, pacing, hears the hospital door open.
Mr. Nagel. Oh, Mr. Nagel.
Oh, doctor, what is it?
Congratulations, Mr. Nagel. Everything's fine.
Yes?
It's a girl. A beautiful 8-pound girl.
One girl? Oh, gee, I was hoping for twins. Oh, well, that makes our 10th. Anyway, we've tied the Kennys for first place. Only, of course, Mrs. Kenny's expecting again, and that'll put her ahead once more.
Well...
We still got till October 31st next year.
Thus, the Ontario Stork Sweepstake enters the home stretch with Mrs. Kenny and Mrs. Nagel tied. And with twins or triplets, the only chance now for an outsider to win. Time marches on. Edmonton, Alberta. Increasingly surprised and dismayed are conservative Canadians and Britons as they learn the significance of this week's election in the province of Alberta. Evangelist schoolteacher William Aberhart of the Social Credit Party, which won with the slogan of a $25 a month dividend for every citizen, will head, when he takes office next week, the first socialist majority ever elected to a parliament in the British Empire. Newspapers from all over the world clamor for information about the social credit program. What is social credit? To NewsHawk's former schoolmaster Aberhart today gives a schoolmaster's explanation.
But where will you get the money, Mr. Aberhart?
Now, you see, it's this way. Really quite similar to the way the processing tax is being collected in the United States. For instance, on a bushel of wheat selling at 60 cents, a 5-cent tax will be collected. On flour selling at $1.10, another 10 cents will be collected. On 50 loaves of bread made from the same bushel of wheat, 50 cents will be collected. In that way, the consumer pays only 1 cent a loaf, but in reality is paying the tax painlessly, which will be his dividend of $25 a month.
But if people only pay a few cents a month in tax, how can you pay them $25 in dividends?
Quite simple. You see, with everybody's purchasing power increasing by dividends, they will buy more of everything, production will shoot up, and so there will be more and more products to tax.
My paper reports that unemployed families and bums are rushing into Alberta from all over Canada.
Naturally, persons who refuse to work will get nothing. No work, no dividend. Only persons who have lived in Alberta a year will be eligible for the guarantee. I am sure social credit is going to work. I am bringing economists from England who have it all worked out. A brain trust, just like President Roosevelt's.
As Alberta's Aberhart tries to make clear his objectives, push forward work on plans for social credit, rich Albertans are already moving their money to other provinces. What will be the fate of social credit? If Canada's courts declare it unconstitutional, it will be worthless. But if it is put into effect, it may throw the 450,000 citizens of Canada's province of Alberta into complete economic isolation from the rest of the world. Time marches on. Death Valley, California. Driving along a desolate road down through Death Valley, John Backert and his elder daughter approached the spot from which 2 days before they had gone for help, leaving Mrs. Backert and 12-year-old daughter Agnes in a broken-down, stranded automobile.
Here's the car, all right.
I don't see Mother or Agnes around.
They must be resting inside after 2 days. Here we are.
Mother! Mother, we're here! Mother!
They're not here. What could have happened?
Father, here's a note. It's from Mother. She says it's 5 p.m. Sunday. We can't wait any longer. Starting on foot for Granite Wells.
Well, that's funny. We've just come from there, and we never saw a sign of them along the way.
Father, it means they've gone off the road. They're lost in the desert.
Far from their disabled car, wandering through a wilderness of strange cactus growths, huge boulders and powder-dry alkali flats, with only a blanket to protect them from the burning sun, are Mrs. Backert and her 12-year-old daughter Agnes.
Mother, I'm awful thirsty. Will we get there pretty soon?
Yes, Agnes. I think we will, pretty soon.
Been walking a long time now.
Oh, I know. Is that what we're heading for? That round-looking little hill over there?
Uh-huh. That's where we're going. That's where Granite Wells ought to be. Right near that little hill.
Well, don't you know that that's where it is?
Why, of course, Mother knows, Agnes. That's where it is. But we mustn't hurry, though. We'll get too tired.
Too tired for what, Mother?
Agnes, look at that rock.
It is a funny-looking one, isn't it? Like that one we saw this morning. Why, Mother, here are some footprints. Well, somebody else must have been by here, too.
No, Agnes. I'm afraid those are our footprints.
Oh, then it's the same rock. Well, Mother, that means we'll have to start all over again, doesn't it?
Yes. We'll have to start all over again.
Hour after hour goes by. Night falls, but brings no relief from the oppressive heat of Death Valley to Agnes Backert and her mother. Always hoping that the next hill will bring them to a settlement, their one stale loaf of bread is soon gone. Days pass, and the burning sun dries up the few remaining puddles of muddy water. And still the long waste stretching ahead to the horizon seems to have no end. It is morning of the fourth day.
When are we going to start again, Mother? We've got to find food and water pretty soon.
Agnes, Mother can't go any further. Not now. Maybe if I lie here a little while.
Well, Mommy, perhaps if I went ahead, I could find a house or something.
No, no, Agnes. You stay here. If we stay in one place, someone may find us.
Mommy, I'm afraid.
Oh, don't be afraid. Somebody'll come.
Well, listen. Listen, Mommy. It's an aeroplane. Oh, give me the blanket. Quick, Mommy. I'll wave it at them.
Yes, maybe somebody will come.
Oh, it's no use. They didn't see it. Mother. Mother, what's the matter? Wake up, Mommy. Look, Mommy. I'm still waving it. They haven't gone away yet. Mommy, they've seen us. They're coming back. Oh, Mother, wake up. They see us.
The rescue planes guide a party of horsemen to the spot, and Mrs. Backert, hurried to a hospital today, revives. Thus, the courage of a 12-year-old girl cheats Death Valley of adding two more victims to its long, ever-mounting list. Time marches on. You have just listened to The March of Time, the reenacting of memorable scenes from the news of the world, presented to you by the editors of Time, the weekly news magazine.
This week, on the screens of thousands of theaters from coast to coast, the new fifth issue of The March of Time on the screen is being shown. That audiences and critics can find each succeeding issue of this new screen feature better, more important, more stirring than the last, the latest, the fifth issue, best of all, is gratifying indeed to its producers. In The March of Time on the screen, you will find informative, exciting pictures drawn from the politics, the romance, the people, the adventure, the fighting that is going on in the world today. Living portraits out of the parade of life, of the things that can best be told in pictures. The March of Time is now being distributed by RKO. In the past month, more than 1,000 new theaters have contracted to bring this new moving picture feature to their screens. Ask the manager of your theater for the date each month when the new issue of The March of Time will be shown.
Again tomorrow night at this time, and every night, Monday through Friday each week, The March of Time on the air. Time marches on. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.